This is the MLW Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host Striga. It's a little bit behind high noon in Germany, and for my co-host Dylan, it's much earlier on the day. How are you holding up, Dylan?
Well, Striga, it's very early in the morning. It's just past 5 a.m. here. It's still dark outside. We just had the recent eclipse in America, yeah, which was heavily talked about. It's right, and I was right in the main path of it, so to speak. But, you know, it only lasted about 3 minutes. I was tempted to sleep through it because, as we know by this show, my sleeping schedule can be up and down at times. But, you know, it was quite an event, and I'm here to record this show. And I did enjoy all the memes on Twitter that day of the eclipse, like Solar Eclipse with the luchador Solar in front of the sun. I did enjoy that. But yeah, I'm really excited to do the show. I just want to shout out everybody listening. Also, I am not feeling that good right now. I just wanted to say, so if anything kind of screws up, just remember that it's all Striga's fault, and he got me sick.
As usual, it's all my fault. But
no, not at all. It's nobody's fault. But I am very sick though, so I apologize if I am terrible on this show. I apologize to you most of all. But hopefully we can rock it. I'll do my best.
Yeah, you better apologize. So I got a question. Did you have one of those glasses for the eclipse?
Yes. We,
okay.
Yes, we did. I didn't use them though, but because I was just like, I just looked outside and saw it was dark.
Okay, because I remember we had an eclipse when I was in school. I think I was like 12 or 13 years old, and we actually made them ourselves. We got this material they are made out of, and we had to put them together ourselves, and worked pretty fine. And an eclipse is always something that's really, really cool, because you just witness our surroundings much more than you usually do.
Yeah, true. It's a trip to see the streetlights come on in the middle of the day, the crickets going off and everything like that. If I were to describe it in one way, I would say it like this. Daichi ga furue, hana ga utau.
Of course. So
That's actually relevant this week. So the thing I say.
I figured. Because you did your homework on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we come off a giant run from the G1 Climax. We did a lot of shows for the G1 Climax. We had a little bit of a break now because the G1 is over. New Japan is on a small break, even though some of the wrestlers are touring the world right now, are in the UK. And I actually have been in the UK last weekend for Revolution Pro Summer Sizzler and the War of the Worlds show, where they had Los Ingobernables versus Bullet Club in a 10-man tag match. And they also had a Ring of Honor TV title match between Kushida, the champion, and Titan, his challenger. And Dylan, this probably was the best Ring of Honor television title match in history. That match was incredibly awesome, and if you and the listeners get a chance to watch that match, you need to get out of your way to see that.
I'm so proud of Titan. He's one of my favorite luchadors
at
CML.
Yeah, mine too. I really like him.
Yeah, to see him get this chance was a really great thing. And really great of Kushida to be one of the guys Ring of Honor has at their shows. And really great of you. Really good choice on your part to see that show. I'm sure you had a lot of fun. I saw you on Twitter saying you gave him a standing ovation yourself. So I hope you threw Titan a few shouts my way.
Yeah, I did. We watched the match from the balcony, standing all the time, so it was really great to see. I got to see Rey Bucanero and Ultimo Guerrero too, so was a good trip. Was a good trip. Also on this, on the Thursday, they had Marty Scurll versus Rey Mysterio Jr. And it's just amazing to see what Rey Mysterio is still doing in 2016. Just incredible.
And 2017 too. He's still a great wrestler.
All right, that's know. 2017. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a year behind us. Are you sure you're not the one recording this at 5 a.m.?
No, I'm not actually. But yeah, well, happens sometimes.
I hope you had a great time. Though. I hope you had a great time at the
show. I did. Met a lot of people, and yeah, just a good trip.
Anybody I know?
I don't know if you know Arn from Voices of Wrestling, the British Roundtable.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're drinking with him, and totally crazy that in the bar we were. That's the bar that's right across the street from York Hall. Basically, we were sitting there, and there were some guys, and they just sat down and talked to us. And then I was talking to them, asking them where they were from, and they said, "Man, Australia." And what the fuck? You're from Australia? So they were in the UK like for 1 month doing skateboarding, and in the meantime watching all the wrestling shows live they can get to. It's just incredible to see that people from the other side of the world come to the UK just to watch wrestling and do their stuff there.
Man, you'd think Australia plays not traditionally known in recent years as a big wrestling hotbed, but they are on the rise.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy to see that. As you know, Striga, it's the long theme of the show. I always enjoy bringing wrestling to new and obscure places that you wouldn't think of, and Australia is definitely one of the top ones going right now. So I'm very happy to hear that news from you. And I love those Australian accents as well. So
yeah, shout out to our man Isaac here also. And, you know, there are a lot of Aussie wrestlers coming to Japan. Of course, TMDK, they were kind of the pioneers of doing so. Of course, Ryan Fujiwara is there too. There's some guy coming to K-Dojo as well. We have some other wrestlers from New Zealand in Japan right now. And Noah has a guy right now in their system. So a lot of Aussie guys coming to Japan, and the scene down there is definitely benefiting from that. And also from Will Ospreay being down there. So I'm hearing good stuff from Australia.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to see the future for that territory, some people would call it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go back to our Japanese territory, because we have a jam-packed show, because there's a lot to talk about. This past Sunday, there was one of the biggest non-New Japan shows of the year, with DDT's Ryo Goku Peta Pan show. And actually, the show had a subtitle. I'm just looking it up as we speak. I think it was the celebration for the 20th anniversary of DDT, and the subtitle was, "Even if Peter Pan is 20 years old, he is Peter Pan." So basically saying that, man, DDT is now a grown-up pretty much, but it still behaves like a child. And I guess that was pretty much the theme of the show.
Striga, what do you think of the Peter Pan name for the DDT's biggest show of the year? I think it fits perfectly with DDT's code and their style of wrestling.
Yeah, exactly, and also the part of refusing to grow up and just do silly stuff all the time.
Yes, it very much lets you know what you're in for.
Exactly. So they drew 5,900 people, Super No Vacancy in Sumo Hall, up from last year's attendance of 5,394. They also had some gaijins in attendance, I heard. I saw some pictures on Twitter here from Brother Mort and his group of people he was with down there. So they saw this show, and they, I guess, had a lot of fun with this show. There were some dark matches that I didn't see, because those matches started at like 3 in the morning for me. So I got up at around 8 in the morning, and the first match I saw was Jiro Ikemen Kurushio versus Shunma Katsumata, and I didn't see the matches before that. We had a Street Pro Wrestling Extra Edition with Gota Ihashi, going against Matt Pauly, Gorgeous Matsuno, Dai Suzuki, Rocky Kawamura, and Lingering Muto, which is interesting because he pops up from time to time. And I think the most newsworthy of this match is that Gota Ihashi was finally able to get rid of the King of Dark title, as he defeated Dai Suzuki, and by defeating him, he lost the belt.
Well, what a big win for Gota Ihashi. Exactly. Always great to see Lingerie Muto.
Yeah. Dark match, we had Mitsuki Watase, Reka Diego, and Daiki Shimomura defeating Tomomitsu Matsunaga, Hoshitango, Nobuyori Shimatani, and Masato Kamino. Nothing to report here. We had an Iron Man Heavy Metal title battle royale. This was the Tokyo Yoshi Pro offer match. Didn't see that match, but in the end, 8-year-old Yu. Oh no, that's not the 8-year-old, but it's Yu. Yu became the 1,267th champion of the.
Also, not you, as in me.
Either. Yeah,
I did not become the champion.
Exactly. Yuko Ino had his debut match. He's another guy like Naomi Yoshimura, looking very impressive, but got pinned by aforementioned Yoshimura in this match. And then, the first match that you saw, I think, was for the KOD 10-man tag team title. And we have 5 belts, and each of these 5 belts is in a different color. That's a great, great little detail for those new belts right here. They were introduced at this show. And the team of Makoto Ishii, Liliko, Ladybeard, Super Sazadango Machine, and Ken Oka defeated Toru Owashi, Katsuki Hirata, Joey Ryan, Saki Akai, and Yoshiko when Oka pinned Hirata with the Hono no Spear, the Fire Spear. Dylan, this match.
This was the very definition of a bona fide hoot, in my opinion. Honestly, everybody got the chance to do their thing. You know, you had the PowerPoint, you had Joey Ryan. I know you saw that part. You made special mention to go after Joey Ryan, fight his part of the match. Not anything
obviously.
Else. But I just wanted to note that out there. Lily Ko was in here. My favorite man, Kazuki Hirata, as well, doing his Tokyo Go dance. I actually spent a long time watching random Magnum Tokyo videos on YouTube, not that long ago on video. Him dancing in a convenience store and trying to find a job after wrestling. A very, very good series of videos. But I loved about these titles, you mentioned the color coding, a great reference to the amazing show Super Sentai that they have here. So I was very much appreciative of that.
Ah,
and
yeah.
Yes, on a note of that, as well, also known as Power Rangers in some places, and also of note, the last 3 episodes, all of my Japanese catchphrases were from a Super Sentai show, Hurricane. So I just wanted to let that out. That was an Easter egg, all building up to these Super Sentai.
I was just going to say, man, what an Easter egg here.
Yeah, if you're a longtime follower, and if you've ever seen Hurricane, a great show, a great Super Sentai edition, you will know what I'm talking about. And so this was just a really funny comedy match. I actually really enjoyed this match a lot. There's no seriousness to it, but no. For a DDT show, this was absolutely what you wanted to see. My only complaint is that I wish Hirata could have gotten the win.
Yeah, well, when I saw the picture of the champions, I went on Twitter and said, man, WCW has taken this Misfits in Action name, because, man, this champion team of Ishii, Liliko, Ladybeard, Super Sazadango Machine, and Ken Oka, they are the Misfits in Action, and no one else.
Yes, I was wondering, is that the official name? We need a name for these
factions. We need a name, yeah, yeah.
There needs to be, like, a fan vote for them.
Exactly. We went on, we had a singles match, and actually I was looking very much forward to this match. It was themed Ikemen versus Idol, with Jiro Ikemen Kurushio against the Idol wrestler Shunma Katsumata. And I gotta be honest with you, I was a little bit disappointed with this match, because those two are probably two of the best up-and-coming high flyers in Japan. And for the 12 minutes they were in, they had a nice match. Shinma Katsumata, he did this one 450 splash where he almost crushed Ikemen's face with his knees because he was landing very badly. And overall it was a decent match, but not to the extent, not good to the extent that I expected.
Yeah, I can definitely understand where you're coming from on that note. Ikemen's an interesting person, an interesting wrestler in a lot of ways, but he's reached these heights of such popularity despite anything you want to say about Wrestle 1. He still has such a connection with the fans, and the new wrestling Idoru group has really tried, not necessarily to, you know, follow in his footsteps, but is very much of a similar vein as Jiro. But, you know, he can have really great matches, but I wanted to see a little more from Katsumata here. And, you know, Shunma, he handles his role well, but like you said, I think this was about a very solid but not great match. But I will say that the crowd was very into this, it felt like. I did note that, and he ended up scoring the win with the Ikemen Clutch as well. So,
yeah, good job. And he actually got this Ikemen Clutch from Super Delphin, because it's a modified version of the Delphin Clutch.
Everyone loves their clutches these
yes,
days.
Yes, yes, they do. And yeah. To be honest, I can see why Jiro didn't went all in into this match. It was a third match on this card, on the main card, and he has a big title match coming up in Yokohama. We're going to talk about that in a bit here too. So, yeah, that was it. We had a four-way tag match. Kotaro Suzuki and Soma Takao won the match. Soma Takao continuing his streak of not losing on the big DDT shows here in Sumo Hall. They defeated Kaz Hayashi and Keisuke Ishii, actually a very good tag team. We had Isami Kodaka and Yuko Miyamoto, obviously also a good tag team, and Mike Bailey and Mao. So four good teams in this match. Fun match for the 10 minutes it went. Nothing really outstanding here to me.
No, it was a wild kind of, I don't want to say spot fest in a negative sense, but this was a very frenetic match, I would say, getting everybody involved. And that's exactly what it should have been, you know, when you see this list of guys. And I really love Kotaro, and I think it's great that he's on this show and getting chances at a lot of different companies right now. I think him and Soma make a pretty good team, actually.
Yeah, and Soma also took the Endless Waltz from Kotaro.
Yeah, so I was just about to note that. The Endless Waltz, a great move from a man with a list of many, many great move names. That was one of them. So hopefully Soma can take more name inspiration. Maybe not even necessarily the moves, but the naming inspiration.
You know, here's a little scoop from me, because my favorite one is the Gin Tonic, obviously.
The Gin Tonic? Yes, yeah. That is a good one. A Requiem is another one of Katara's great moves.
Oh, no, but I was talking about Soma Takao right now.
Oh, Soma Takao. Okay, well, that should be a good one as well. I really liked a lot of the guys in this match. Ishii looked great, and obviously, everybody know if you like these guys, then you're going to get what you want from this
match. Same goes for the KOD six-man tag team title match with Shuten Doji, the champions. Kudo, Yukio Sakaguchi, and Masahiro Takanashi defeated Dick Togo, Yasuo Urano, and Antonio Honda when Kudo pinned Honda with his diving double knee drop. First defense of the championship for Shuten Doji. Just also a very fun multi-man tag match here.
Yeah, and I also want to mention before this match started, it was announced that Ultimo Dragon, Suwama, Abdullah Kobayashi, and Hideki Suzuki will be coming to DDT in October.
You know, I hope they get a fifth guy and challenge for the 10-man tag team title.
Oh my god, that would be the greatest tag team that's ever existed. I would love that so much. I can't even imagine. Kendo Kasha needs to join that team, and this would be like my dream team, pretty much. But I can't wait for that, but about the six-man match, I really like what we saw from Sakaguchi, Kudo, and Takanashi. I think they're a very nice six-man team. Dick Togo is Dick Togo, and, you know, you want to say what you want about him, but he still wrestles very strongly. And I thought everyone worked hard, and they did their best here. And it was a solid match.
Exactly. And, Dylan, next up, we had the DT 20th anniversary special match, the Weapon Rumble match between Danshoku Dino and Sanshiro Takagi. It was All Rights on DT contra Marriage. And this match is, if you watched this match, this is the essence of DDT. This is the essence of what DDT is and what DDT stands for. It is crazy, over-the-top entertainment. It's so over-the-top that you sometimes wonder why they are doing stuff and you just can't get behind it. Of course, there's this language barrier we have, and that plays a role, but still, this is just DDT insanity 101 here. So basically, I think the first weapon they had was this giant marriage certificate they had, right?
Oh man, that is a scary weapon for some men.
Yeah, we had this one, and Takagi was almost able to make Dino make his signature on this marriage certificate, which would have been the loss for Dino.
Oh man, what a stipulation this is here.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of people running in and out. There's a lot of moving parts in this match, let's just say.
Yeah, you know, I was waiting for the most special weapon, because one time when they had this weapon rumble, Minoru Suzuki was one of those weapons, but then I remembered that Minoru Suzuki on the same day was in Okinawa having a match for Ryukyu Dragon Pro. So that was out of the window. But behold, we had a lot of other great stuff coming up here. Because one of the... I'm just right here on the Dramatic DDT blog. I can only recommend you to go onto this site, dramaticddt.wordpress.com. If you're as confused as we are sometimes with DDT, there is a lot of explanations on there. Early weapons in this match were a barbed wire baseball bat, a vibrating massage stick... Also wrapped in barbed wire, of course, that we had this giant marriage document I mentioned. And then the next weapon was Kendo Kashin and the Momota family. And so this turned out to be a brawl between Kendo Kashin and Mitsuo Momota. So basically, Riko Dozan's son brawled with Kendo Kashin through the crowd of a Dramatic Dream Team show.
I mean, and what else would he have expected from his son in his career than this? So how could you not be more proud of this? I know he was looking down, very happy with this. There were some really random people, too, running in that I think was like a boy band or something.
Yeah, it was Macho 29.
Oh, I'm such a huge fan of theirs. I don't know how I forgot them. But yeah, they ran in at one point. I think Takagi's wife ran in at some point.
Yeah, before that, we had Dino's weapon was a video of a drunk Sanshiro Takagi stripping naked during one of those fan events in a bar in Tokyo. And of course, the weapon here was that Takagi felt ashamed. And until Takagi's new weapon appeared, and you mentioned it. No, it wasn't. It was Takagi's wife later. But first, we had Danshoku Dino's mother coming out, kissing her son.
So I also want to note, there's not only the video, but there's also way too much nudity in this match for my liking.
Oh yeah,
Takagi, it was very very liberal about his.
That's what you get with Dino.
And Dino and Takagi as well.
Yeah.
So not just Dino here. Dino may have been even the more conservative of the two.
With the body
shots here.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was just a crazy match. If you, God forbid, like Dino and his matches, then you must have been in heaven in this match, because this had everything that you could want in a DDT show. This had everything.
Definitely.
And how did this end?
Yeah, you mentioned it. Takagi's wife came out. Kayoko Takagi is her name. And she moonsaulted her husband. And that led to the end, when Danshoku Dino was able to deliver a Gotch-style Danshoku driver for the win. And now DDT is in the hands of Danshoku Dino.
A terrifying prospect. I loved some of the build-up was how they would get Dino a wife, and I loved how they were pitching reality shows for Dino. before, if he had lost the match. A Bachelor-esque style show.
I was just going to say, he would have been an amazing Bachelor.
I would have loved that so much. If they had done that, that would be like, I would keep subscribing to this for like 5 months. If this was a monthly series, I'd subscribe for 5 months. I'd put it all right down, like half a year if they did that. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say about this match here?
Well, so with... it happened. With Dan Shokudino now being in charge, they fired former general manager Amon Tsurumi. He's now unemployed and we'll have to wait and see what happens with him. Yeah, well, after this match, more serious stuff was coming up with three title matches we still had here. For the DDT Extreme title, Caballera contra Caballera, hair versus hair, Daisuke Sasaki and Akito, both putting their hair on the line, and also Daisuke Sasaki was putting his Extreme title on the line. So the champion put up basically more than the challenger, and the match ended in 21 minutes when Daisuke Sasaki did a chair-assisted, it was called in the results, I noted, a Gargano Escape. It was somewhat of a mix between a La Mystica and a Gargano Escape. So Daisuke Sasaki was able to defend his belt and later on was allowed to cut Akito's hair. I don't know about you, Dylan. I really liked this match because they did a lot of stuff involving weapons and involving the weapons in a really smart way, working over the body parts they chose to work over. But it sadly didn't really connect with the crowd. The crowd seemed to be really quiet. I talked to Michelle about that, and she noted that the crowd really wasn't quiet for most of the matches. But sometimes in Sumo Hall, it apparently is... apparently the crowd noise doesn't really translate to the broadcast, so that may have been a problem here. But still, I really enjoyed this match.
They definitely used a lot of the weapons, like you said. They were very creative. Not everything was 100% clean, if I could say it that way. There were some spots that I thought were a little... the timing may have been a little off. I guess you could say that.
Yeah, there was this one thing where they tried to go onto the turnbuckle, and the ladder was in the corner, and that didn't really work out.
Yeah, they were ambitious. Not all of it worked, but I think it was an entertaining match by the end. Yeah. But most importantly to me, my favorite part of all of this was the build up to this match as well, which featured both men basically stating that, you know, if they lose their hair, it's no big deal. You know, like, it'll grow back. So, at the press conference, they both tried to cut their own hair to set this match up, but the director had to stop them from ruining this match. So, I think that is the proper way to build up your matches, by saying how meaningless these stipulations are.
Yes.
But, and it really is. That's always been my favorite part of hair matches. It's like, you know, it'll grow back eventually.
Yeah.
Especially great hair like Sasaki. And let me tell you, I know a thing or two about great hair, Striga. His hair,
do
I
you?
Sense it. I can see it. I've been told this many times.
Hmm.
I can sense that his hair will grow back very naturally if he were to ever lose it. So I can definitely see where he's coming from, saying, you know, it's no big deal at all.
No.
But, you know, the match was pretty fun.
Well, actually, when the show was over, the entire roster did a little appearance for the fans held up some signs, and Diego was kind of making fun of Akito for losing his hair, but Akito was already fine with it, and I really think that Akito looks better now without his long hair.
Akito will be just fine without the hair. It'll grow back if he likes it, and if he doesn't like it, he got a free haircut. So there are no losers. There are no losers in that.
Well, free haircut, you had to go through letters and tables, but, well.
Oh, besides that part.
Yeah, so, yeah, fun match here. Then we went to the KOD Tag Team title match. Harashima and Naomichi Marufuji defeated Shigehiro Irie and Katsusada Higuchi, the champions, who before this show were on a good run as the tag team champions of DDT. And what happened here? Of course, Harashima pinned Irie with the Somato. That's Shigehiro Irie's career in a nutshell.
I loved it. I loved it because I knew what the reaction would be, and it totally delivered.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought this was the best match of the whole night, to be honest with you. I thought this was a really strong match. I really loved what these four men did. When you talk about Hiroshima, Higuchi, Irie, these guys are three of the most talented men, and three of my personal favorites on the roster. Marufuji fits like a glove. Him and Hiroshima, they have a great chemistry together.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah. I really like the sequence where Hiroshima was on his knees, and I think Irie was going for a move, but from out of nowhere, Marufuji appeared and springboarded off of Hiroshima's back and did the co knee strike to Irie. That was great.
Yeah. And I love their chemistry they have together. I think they fit like a glove. I hope they keep these titles for a little while. I'd love to see Marufuji stick around. Maybe even Hiroshima could go to Noah for a little while. Yeah. But I've no problem with Higuchi and Irie. They are a very good tag team as well, and I thought all four men came together. And I also liked how Marufuji and Hiroshima, they just look like natural tag team partners. Their looks are very similar. Their attire is somewhat similar. They just go together so well. It's like almost a dream team, almost. And I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was the best of the night.
It really was a great match. And it's just the overall compelling story of when is Shigehiro Irie finally able to defeat Hiroshima? When is it happening? That's always a theme of the matches those two are in, and so always makes for a great story.
It makes every one of their matches in the future continue to have an extra element to make it a little bigger than it was. So yes. I'm all for this storyline continuing, and when Irie gets that big win, it's going to mean so much. You know, so I really like that. I have no problem with what they did at all.
Following the match, new general manager Danshō Kudino came out with Sanshiro Takagi. They challenged the new champions to a title match inside the Miyagi Ironworks factory for a factory pro wrestling match. Wonder what that's going to be like. And NOAH president Masayuki Ushida was at ringside too, and he said he didn't have a problem with that, so the match is on. And from there, we went to the main event of Sumo Hall. It was for the KOD Openweight title match, for the KOD Openweight title. Konosuke Takeshita, the champion, in his seventh defense, defeated his former tag team partner, former friend, now turned into his nemesis, Tetsuya Endo. With the cross-arm German suplex hold in 29 minutes. And I gotta be honest with you, didn't like the match.
Listen, just like the first time you made that mistake, Tetsuya again screwed by the system, whether it be Naito or Endo. But I'm with you. I think a big problem in this match was, I wonder what your difference of opinion would be if this was your first time seeing this match. Instead of maybe us seeing this, but I think what would be impossible not to notice is that this crowd came across very flat for this match. This was not the kind of main event you want on your biggest show of the year, and I think a lot of that has to do with the length of this show, which was a big issue, and I think the crowd may have been tired out.
Yeah, the show was 6 hours long.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and another problem I noted is during the build-up to this match, they each had debuted kind of new finishers and things of that nature, and it looked like we were going to get a heck of a match. And by the end of it, he just finished it with his normal, you know, the cross-arm German suplex here. There was no big finish or anything like that. It just felt like all their other matches, really. And the crowd wasn't that into it, like I said. A lot of people have talked about Takeshita winning the title and if that's bad. But, you know, I like Takeshita. I think this run has gone better than his first one.
Definitely.
Yeah, that definitely was not something you would want to repeat. But I also think that I think him winning isn't so bad, but I think it's a bit overkill to have him immediately looking to win more titles on top of it.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah, it's almost like, oh, you think he's overpushed? Let's give him more titles, you know? So I didn't like that very much at all. But what did you think of Takeshita winning?
You know, I don't have an issue with Takeshita winning. I have an issue with this match overall because I think there also was a psychology problem in this match because going in, I pretty much was told by DDT that Takeshita, the babyface, going in here because Tetsuya Endo is in Damnation and they are the obvious heels here. But in the match, there was just no hint given who would be the face and who would be the heel. It was basically just two guys doing their moves. And there was nothing really to really hold on to in this match. And I think the crowd was very similar for the crowd here in this match. So, yeah. Don't know if...
I can definitely understand where you're coming from on that one.
Yeah. Don't know if they really did a good service to both of them closing out Sumo Hall with this match. We gotta wait and see. And you already mentioned it. There is going to be a title match. And it's going to be... When is it scheduled? Let me see. Konosuke Takeshita. That's on September 29. Because after the match, we had Daisuke Sasaki and Ken Oka inside the ring. And they both are champions as well. Ken Oka has the Independent World Junior Heavyweight Championship that was formerly held by wrestlers in Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling, a lot of years ago, was reintroduced in, I think, 2007 when Kota Ibushi won the belt, and it's being bounced around in indies right now, and it's in the hands of Ken Oka right now, and also Daisuke Sasaki with his Extreme title. So we have a three-way match coming up on September 24 in Curriken Hall with the KOD Openweight title, the DDT Extreme title, and the Independent World Junior title all on the line. And the winner of this match gets the championship of the wrestler he defeats in this three-way match. So one of those three is going to end up with two belts, and I will be shocked if it's not Takeshita.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Oka will probably take the fall here.
But
Takeshita getting more titles, you know, I think that's a very interesting strategy they're going with. They're all in on this ace push for Takeshita. And, you know, he's a talented guy. I don't have anything against him. I totally agree with what you were saying about the match, too. I just wanted to point that out. Endo never really turned it on in terms of any sort of heel factor until after the match where he did not accept the handshake from Takeshita. And I'm so used to Hiroshima being the champion of DDT. But I think Takeshita is going to pin Ken Oka in that match. I could see a swerve coming with Sasaki pinning Oka first.
I could also see Takeshita pinning Sasaki and winning the Extreme title because they've done the double title run before.
Hmm. Yeah, I could totally see that too. But we think Takeshita is going to get somebody's belt come the 24th. You know.
Exactly. So that was Sumo Hall for DDT. It was everything you're expecting from DDT. You get the crazy comedy stuff. You get some high octane singles matches. You get great tag team wrestling. It's just something for everybody, usually.
Yep. I couldn't agree more with that. The show was, there was a lot to this show. It was action packed in a lot of different ways. And not all of it's going to hit with everybody, but I really appreciate the tag match most of all. And of the comedy matches, the Sentai, Super Sentai 5-man titles was definitely where it was at, in my opinion.
Yeah. So that was Sumo Hall for DDT. And we're not finished with Sumo Hall shows, Dylan, actually, because we have another Sumo Hall show coming up actually this weekend, with All Japan running Sumo Hall the second year in a row, celebrating their 45th anniversary here. And we have a stacked card for this show as well. And we're going through that card right now. It starts with a match between two rookies. One of them is a rookie that left All Japan last year and he now came back. It's Keiichi Sato. He wrestles Yusuke Okada in the first match of the Sumo Hall show. That's interesting. You know, what I noted was Akebono's Royal Road promotion. They had a show this week, and on the second match of this show, we had Keiichi Sato taking on Kazushi Miyamoto. So two former All Japan prospects were on a show that is basically an All Japan splinter promotion.
That, yes, I know.
Yeah, tells you all about these two guys. And by the way, Akebono, as I'm on the topic, there is nothing really new about him. He's still, his promotion said he's still in rehab for his cellulitis and the infection that he suffered in April. So there is nothing new, but apparently he's still looking at getting back into the ring.
We'll see how it goes on there with Akebono.
All the best for Akebono. Hope he's getting better. Moving on with this card, we have the match that's called the opening act, because it's an offer match from the Actress Girls. We have Saori Ano and Matsumi Maki taking on Tai Honma and Miyuki Takase. It should be a nice little opening act match here. Then we have
all those girls are very talented.
Yes, they definitely are. We have a very cool tag match that if it gets like 10 minutes, it should be really, really good with four great guys in it. Yohei Nakajima and Fuminori Abe, they take on Takuya Nomura and Yuya Aoki from Big Japan Pro Wrestling.
So that sounds like a lot of fun. Right,
yes, there. Definitely. We have Pro Wrestling Lance and facing the Multinational Alliance, Rujisai Masakado and Ishikiri, they take on Sam Adonis, Massimo, and Danny Jones. Dylan, have you gotten the chance to see this Massimo guy on an All Japan show?
I feel like I've seen him before. I know him from somewhere. I know I've seen him before, but I can't put my fingers on it. Isn't he like an Italian guy?
Yeah. He's from Italy, and I think he's like 6 feet and wait a sec, I'm just looking at it.
Maybe six five.
Yeah, 6'5". He's 6'5", actually. Yeah, 6'5", 235 pounds. So he's a big guy, and I thought he did pretty well in the matches that I saw from him. I haven't seen Danny Jones yet, I think. And Sam Adonis, well, he's all right.
His gimmick won't work as well.
I'm actually not sure, because some of the guys that were in Japan went to the Ultimate Dragon show where he also wrestled, and I don't know if it's really connecting on the level they expected.
Yeah, we'll Japan's not Mexico.
Exactly.
These things, I'm sure that match will be all right.
Yeah. We have a All Japan Pro Wrestling 45th Anniversary Special Tag Match. Dory Funk Jr. and Hiro Saito take on Masanobu Fuji and the Great Kabuki. Approximately 250 years of pro wrestling experience here between those four men. And, Dylan, is it going to be a bona fide hoot?
It will be a hoot. I'm not going all the way to bona fide yet. But if you love old men, and I do like the legends, the wrestling, and all that, but I think it's got potential for a bona fide boot, but I'm not going to go all the way with it.
Okay. Next up is the Bang TV World Heavyweight Title match. Mm-hmm. It's a battle royale. The champion, Osamu Nishimura, defends it against the United Forces of Independent Wrestling in Japan. There are a lot of guys in this match. First announced for this match was Naoshi Sano. We have Yutaka Yoshi, Rikia Fudo, Kabel Ito. That is actually one of the sponsors of All Japan Pro Wrestling. We have Aisawa Number One, formerly of Michinoku Pro Wrestling. Now he's touring around the independents with Tsuyoshi Kikuchi. We have Abdullah Kobayashi. We have, who is in there? Of Rikia Fudo twice here on my card. He's only wrestling once in this match, obviously.
He will appear twice.
Atsushi Maruyama. Kazuhiro Tamura is in this match. Rey Paloma. Mito Shichi Shinose. Shota Nakagawa and Akiyori Takisawa. All of those three are from the tiny, tiny indie promotion Asuka Project. That is basically the successor to Wrestling New Classic. Yep. We have Dinosaur Takuma and Kotaro Yoshino, the Dino Stones, the tag team from K-Dojo. And last but not least, we have the great Kojika. And Dylan, you know what I want to see? I want to see the great Kojika win the Bang TV title, and after the match, Dory Funk Jr. coming out to challenge the great Kojika.
I mean, who is the most synonymous with Bang TV other than great Kojika?
Yeah.
Really? This title was made for him, when you think about it. I want to see Dinosaur Takuma win the title.
Oh, man.
Just because I would love to see a match with him and Dory Funk Jr. coming forward. That is my match that I want to see in All Japan going forward. Dinosaur versus Dory.
Dinosaur Takuma and the Big Bang. That sounds good. Yeah. That sounds good.
I just want to shout out that Maruyama has done a great job on All Japan recently. I'm a big fan of his. I hope he gets a bigger push going forward.
Yeah, yeah. We have an offer match from Mexico. We talked about that on an earlier show already. Caristico goes against El Diamante. And Dylan, I don't know if you saw the pictures from the Ultimo Dragon 30th anniversary show they had this past week. At the end of the show, Ultimo Dragon's theme was playing because he celebrated 30 years in the ring, obviously. And who was standing on the turnbuckle celebrating himself but Caristico? Obviously.
I mean, he is the legend in his own mind. I have to say something. Caristico always amuses me as a character, especially in Lucha Libre. There are so many like jerks and terrible people involved in wrestling anywhere, really. But Caristico is very amusing to me, and how much of an egomaniac he is. So I'm hoping you know he's going over here over Diamante, who's a talented wrestler. Diamante is actually a talented wrestler as well. This should be a really good match, a very good lucha offering here. But when Caristico goes over, I hope he, you know, he does much like you said in the Ultimate Dragon show, as well as what he did in the New Japan Super J Cup show, where he celebrated for like 5 minutes and everyone else just walks out and leaves him alone when he just stands in the ring, praising his favorite wrestler himself.
All Asia Tag Team Title champions Atsushi Aoki and Hikaru Sato take on the challenging team of Black Tiger 7 and Taka Michinoku. And Dylan, I know that you want to talk about Hikaru Sato, and that's a man I want to talk about as well, because he had two very, very good junior heavyweight title matches in July, the first of which was against Minoru Tanaka.
Yes, I love that match. I think it was a great junior heavyweight match. You know, when you look at Sato, this is a guy who faces a lot of criticism online for crazy reasons, whether it's for his hair, for his attire, but his wrestling to me is so on point when it comes to technical wrestling. I think he's one of the top men, and who better to match up with him than someone like Minoru Tanaka, who is, to me, this guy is ageless. There's no way you can convince me he's in his 40s, even though I know it's true.
Because if you told me that this guy just turned 30, I would totally buy it.
Oh, yeah, and he even has the hair for it. Again, another hair-related thing here. He has the young men hair. I could see myself rocking his haircut at some point, maybe a little darker. But to me, I would not rock Sato's haircut. But to me, these two are two of the best technical wrestlers in Japan, and I love the entire division of All Japan being more technically
yes,
sound.
Yes, that's a great point, because I also enjoyed the match with Sato and Tanaka very much so. And, you know, for Hikaru Sato, he's probably not the most charismatic. That's why he faces a lot of criticism, I think. I talked about it with my man Flosh on our German podcast. He always goes in so focused into all of his matches, and it's really that he focuses on his work inside the ring, and his work is really crisp and great. He had a good match, very good match with Minoru Tanaka here on the 17th in Curriken Hall.
Before you move on to the next match, what did you think of the finishing stretch here? Because I know where you're going with this one.
I really liked the finishing stretch, because it was back and forth between Tanaka and Hikaru Sato. Just a great, great finishing stretch, yes.
Yeah, I loved his finisher here. He used the Urihishigi Gyako Jujigatame.
Yeah, the capture style cross arm breaker.
Yes, it was a great finishing stretch that led to that. I love that. But go on to the match you watched, too.
Exactly, because after the match, he was challenged by Tajiri, by the way, that Tajiri spit green mist into his face, and he later apologized for that. That's Tajiri.
It was an accident.
I'm sorry. I slipped.
Yeah.
So the match happened on July 30. So it was also on Samurai TV. And that match was very similar to the match that Hikaru Sato had with Minoru Tanaka. Also a very, very good ground-based match. And it's for a long time it seemed like that Tajiri was really holding Hikaru Sato down and didn't leave him a chance in this match. But Hikaru Sato fought back and fought back with his own holds and moves and submissions. And Tajiri was trying to pin Hikaru Sato from all positions. And yeah, what didn't really work for Tajiri, so Hikaru Sato fought back. And what does Tajiri have in his arsenal? Of course, the green mist that led to the finish, and Tajiri in the end winning the championship. And after that, Ultimo Dragon came out, challenged Tajiri for the title, and they are going to have the junior title match here on Sumo Hall, in Sumo Hall. And those two are not in their 20s anymore, but they are still two very good wrestlers, and they both can go in a very good ground-based technical wrestling style match. And I really like that All Japan is putting the emphasis on their junior heavyweight division being more technically sound than, for example, New Japan's junior division that is very much about the spectacular stuff.
And you look at guys like Abe and Iwamoto that
they fit right in.
Yeah, exactly. They know who they're bringing in. This is very much on purpose. Even Aoki, who kind of goes back and forth between junior and heavyweight at times, who is teaming with Sato in his All-Asia tag match here. A really great tag team as well. I really love Sato and Aoki together. I hope they win against, no offense to Black Tiger. But it should be great to see those two match up with Taka. It's a rare promotional match.
Taka is also one of those guys who's really, really great on the ground based style. So a lot of good stuff on this card here. And Dylan, as we were just talking about great hair and bad hair, where do you stand with Taichi's hair?
Oh, thumbs down. Thumbs down. You know, the hair, let me be more fair about this. The hair is not the worst thing about Taichi. Well, let's just say that right now. He's got a good girl on the side, so I cannot knock the hair now. I think Taichi has good hair. The face, you know, it doesn't go with his face as well, though. I think, you know, the long hair may have been more fitting for his face. That, let me just put that out there. But it's not a bad haircut. The rest leaves a lot. There's a lot of questions about the rest of him and what he does in the ring here.
Well, he's going to bring a lot of heat because he's facing Yuma Aoyagi in a singles match. And if we go back to last year's Super J Cup, Yuma Aoyagi was the representative for All Japan Pro Wrestling. He faced Taichi. Yuma Aoyagi didn't necessarily have his best day in this match. So Taichi decided to, well, kind of shoot on him. He did this one lariat that hit Aoyagi right in his face, and he really was really very stiff with young Yuma Aoyagi. And so they are doing this match here right now in Sumo Hall, and that should be very interesting because I'm really curious about how this goes this time.
That is true. I really hope Aoyagi wins here, to be honest with you. For not just because I think he's more talented, but I think it's because it's a feel good story almost for him to get his redemption here.
Yeah, not very sure about this. I actually see Taichi winning here, but yeah.
No, don't say that. Well, even if you believe it, even if Taichi himself told you this is going to happen, don't say it because that makes it more likely to happen. That's all I ask. Have some respect for you.
I have, but it's Taichi, you know. He always finds a way.
I really like Yuma. I think he's a good talent. Yeah. He's still on the underburner of All Japan this year. But I think his time will come, I could see it being this match, but it's very possible Taichi wins.
Yeah.
But I think his time will come eventually,
one way
or the other.
Yuma Aoyagi is a very charismatic guy. His entrance theme is this Japanese pop song. He has his Fisherman Buster is called the Rockstar Buster. The fans always have the towels they are throwing in the air with Aoyagi. Aoyagi, he His name on Twitter is Attack on Yuma, so he's a really, really cool guy. A lot of cool guys are on the next match as well. It's an 8-man tag match with, well, basically it's the All Japan roster that doesn't really have a singles match on this show. It's Jun Akiyama, Takao Mori, Minoru Tanaka, and Koji Iwamoto taking on Joe Daring, Zeus, The Bodyguard, and Kotaro Suzuki. And I really hope that Joe Daring wins this match because he has laid out the plan that he wants to regain the Triple Crown. And with that, he stands in the way of Zuwama. And on the July 30 show, Zuwama was saying to Joe Daring, well, then we have to fight. And Joe Daring was saying, no, I don't want to fight you. We just part our ways as friends, and that's it. But Zuwama kept intending that he's going to fight with Joe Daring, which led to Joe Daring clotheslining Zuwama. And then Daring declared that Evolution is over now. So they are split, and Joe Daring went on his own ways and is in this match here, and I really hope he wins this so he can challenge the winner of the main event here.
Oh, man, this is like a lot of my favorite guys in this match here, this 8-man match. I think it's interesting that Iwamoto takes the place of Nakajima, and it seems like their roles would be fit. Iwamoto and Abe are tag partners often. I think it says good things for him that he's called up to this role. And I love a lot of these guys in this match. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I have to say, though, and I think this will be a theme coming up in the next couple of matches, I really thought that it was a bad time to do this thing with Doring. If you watch his match with Miyahara on the show with the big Ishikawa-Suwama match, where Doring faced Miyahara, I think Doring is very over, very popular right now with the fans for a lot of reasons. And I just thought it was a really questionable decision all around. Really, really curious one as well, because I thought it was completely unnecessary to go this route. And I'm sure there are big things ahead for him that will make up for it, but I just think it was really bad timing on their part. I would not have done it that way. But like you, I hope he gets the win here. He's very popular with the crowds, as I mentioned, and I think he will be on his way to a title shot of some sort by the end of this year. But I didn't like that at all. I think, and I'll say more about some things I don't like of All Japan's done in the last few months since we talked about
it. So are you saying that they should have gone with Joe Daring as the challenger here in Sumo Hall?
Only if Miyahara had never lost the title, which I would have done as well.
Yeah,
but I think he will get the title shot. As it is with Ishikawa, I think it's fine what they did. We'll get to that later.
But as you mentioned, the match from July 17. Yeah. Miyahara and Joe Daring, they had a 9-minute match, and it was what you call a heavyweight sprint, because they were going all in from the first second the bell rang, and it was really a great match. Semi-main event of Currican Hall, fans were all into it, I was all into it, great match.
Oh, I love that match, I thought it was an awesome match. I think Miyahara's had an incredible year from an in-ring perspective, and I think this was another great match. Daring worked another one. I do another thing too with Doring going for a title shot here, and they tease that after this match and on the show. Really, I do question him losing to Miyahara in pretty quick fashion twice, if you count his Champions Carnival match. Not super quick, but this, like you said, under 10 minutes for this one. I think the other one only went 12 or 13 minutes in Champions Carnival, and it seems like Doring got put away without he didn't push Miyahara to the limit. So to speak, really, with this 9-minute match. But for what they did, the quality was very high, and I think both guys are excellent in-ring performers.
Yeah.
So I have no problems with it. I just think that it was just really weird booking all around with Joe Daring. I thought it was really weird that happened. I wish they had more time, honestly, because I really loved what they were doing.
Yeah, we're going to get to it. We already talked about Tajiri versus Ultimo Dragon. Next up for the All Japan World Tag Team title, as you just mentioned, also bad timing here, because on the July 17 show, Jake Lee and Naoya Nomura defeated the Big Guns for the All Japan World Tag Team title, and a big win for both of them. And Jake Lee was really on a roll this year. He's so good right now. Naoya Nomura also on a strong run. He got through a pin in the tag team title match against the Bodyguard. It was their time to be the tag team champions, but then Jake Lee tore his ACL, is out for a significant time right now. So they had to forfeit the belts. We have a decision match now with Kai and Naoya Nomura taking on Daisuke Sekimoto and Yuji Okabayashi. And I really don't know. Dylan, do you see Kai and Nomura winning?
Oh, I just want to say that I was so gutted when both Mashimo and Lee got injured back-to-back for the title. The cursed title is here right now, but especially Lee, because he was coming off that excellent match with Ishikawa. I thought that was such a brilliant match all around, and Lee's match with Miyahara earlier in the year.
Exactly, I was going to mention that, yeah.
Yeah, it felt like this year was his year that he was arriving. They were booking him well. That was the one thing I really thought they were doing right. With him and Nomura, they made a really good tag team. I think Nomura was on the rise, being with Jake Lee. And it was just a really, really unfortunate thing. Now, yeah. I do like the booking of this match, having Nomura and Kai team together, as both of their partners got injured. So it was a natural, you know, they have a really natural connection right now. And a genuine one, not, you know, a hokey one. This is a real connection they have together. As far as this goes, it would be a big upset. But
yeah, sure would be.
These titles are so, like, they've been so weird. Ikai and Mashimo winning the titles was a huge upset. And if you remember back to their June match, they had just, like, that match that Mashimo got injured, Kai and Mashimo had just shaken hands during that match. And finally, he accepted Kai as his partner. It seemed like Kai was going places. Unfortunately, like we said, the injuries. I would love to see these guys win. If I was doing it, I would have them win. I don't think or know that it's going to happen, but I would love to see it. I think that it would be a great reaction, another feel-good moment, I think. But I think this is going to be actually a really sleeper, strong match between these four here. I think they're going to have a really really good match in front of this crowd.
Yeah, I actually see Strong BJ winning just for the sake that it would probably give the World Tag Team title another strong run here with Strong BJ. And Naoya Nomura can come back later on to maybe win the title. And or maybe go on two different paths. Who knows? But we have a very, very special singles match in the semi-main of Sumo Hall. Suwama is taking on Satoshi Kojima. And we talked about the backstory of this match on a prior podcast, so you can seek out that show. Just, this is going to be a great, great match. And I've seen on Tokyo Sports, an article. I haven't really gotten to the right translation yet, but Suwama was talking about something like to the extent that he's going to expel Kojima from All Japan with defeating him here. And I really think that Suwama should get the win here.
I think it would be a really big mistake if Suwama doesn't get the win. I think that would be a really, really bad decision all around. The match, like you said, much like I said, the Nomura and Kai team, this has a very real, you know, feeling to it, a very genuine build to it.
Yep.
And I appreciate that in this match. And like you said, this is going to feel real. I think this could very well be one of the most heated matches of the night, if not the most heated match of the night, with Kojima coming back to All Japan. He meant so much during the Pro Wrest Love era that great Muto was obviously, or Keiji Muto was obviously, you know, he was almost his guy, really, that he brought over from Japan.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. And so he represents that era well, and I think this would be a great almost passing of the torch, really, because Suwama's almost a bridge from the Pro Wrest Love era to now. He's really the guy that came in at the end of that, and is now obviously a main eventer. How things are now in All Japan. So I really am interested in this match. I'm confident Suwama will win this. I think he will win. Yeah. I hope he will win, but I think ultimately, this will be a really good match.
This should be a very good match if those two work together like we expect them to be, two professionals here. Should be a great match here in the semi-main event of Sumo. And I'm just looking it up if there was ever a singles match that Suwama won. Yes, he won twice against Kojima already in 2006. So over 10 years ago, he had two wins over Kojima, and they had five singles matches up until now, two for Suwama and three for Kojima. And he was really going for that big win, Suwama, that is, for the Triple Crown against Kojima in 2010, before Kojima was leaving, as I said, and that didn't happen. And so it basically has to happen here now. And I'm really wondering what you think about the main event and who's going out there as the winner, because Shuji Ishikawa defends the Triple Crown against Kento Miyahara.
Now, this match here, it's very interesting that Miyahara back in the title picture already after losing it just a few short months ago, and Ishikawa has been a very good champion for his, you know, 2 months that he's had it up to this point.
Yes.
I really loved his match with Lee, and Suwama, they had their traditional match with Suwama. Ishikawa loved the jumbo tights that he's wearing, loved that All Japan's his home promotion, he's made it now. I think he's done an excellent job as champion.
Yeah, the match with Suwama was... Let me just jump in here. The match with Suwama was a really, really great big man match with two guys just trying to get the victory here with their big moves. Suwama tried to get the win with his backdrop, and he kicked out of the Splash Mountain, actually, and Shuji Ishikawa had to go back to his Giant Slam, and that really looked impressive. And to your point, Ishikawa making All Japan his home, he took the title to DDT, took the title to Big Japan, and when he was announced as the Triple Crown champion in both those promotions, the crowd really applauded very, very much for him and said basically, well, this is our guy being the Triple Crown champion now, that's great. And yeah, however, you were on a roll here criticizing All Japan's booking.
Yeah, because I don't like that Miyahara already in the title picture after his title reign ended.
Yeah.
I think that, first of all, I would have never had him lose the title in hindsight. No offense to Ishikawa. I just think this match would be a lot bigger with Miyahara's reign on the line. This seems like the natural spot for him to pass the torch. Him winning the title again, which a lot of people are speculating could happen, him winning the title again after he lost it just a few short months ago feels like, I don't know, it doesn't...
It would really feel like they were rebooting because they didn't really trust in Ishikawa. That's what it would feel like.
Man, and they should. Ishikawa is a great champion. He's done well at box office and in matches.
Yeah, and I'm really, really, I think you got that right here because I really don't see that they should give Miyahara the title back because he had this strong, strong run of almost 1.5 years as champion, and he basically had title matches with everybody that they have on the roster.
Yeah.
And it would be the same if he went on the second run now.
And it wouldn't be as special, because his reign had, every match he had felt like it could end at any time, even with, because just due to the fact that it had gone so long, I think his matches had a really special sense to them. If he wins it back again, that sense of specialness will be gone, and like you said, he'll be wrestling the same people, and it won't be an epic reign, ultimately. I think, I really wish they had kept the title reign going so he could have, they had an easy out for him to chase Misawa with the title reign, and they just dropped it for reasons I don't understand, and I think it was a really big missed opportunity, and if they go back to him right now, I don't understand why he needs to be champion right now after he lost it. I think the next person in line should be Ishikawa, and Miyahara could get back in next year. He still has a lot he still has a lot to gain from winning something like the Champions Carnival. He still has that on his bucket list, and he could do something else, something with a tag team maybe, or I don't know. I'm not feeling Miyahara winning, and he's my arguably one of my favorite wrestlers, but I'm just not feeling him winning the title back after. It's like you had lightning in the bottle, and it lasted longer than anybody could have expected, but you really made a mistake. You gave it away. It's not like if you put the title on Miyahara, that lightning in a bottle just comes back. It's just not the same as before. And there's no reason to go backwards. They need to go forward.
They need to go forward. I'm with you here. But overall, this is a great, great Sumo Hall card. Should be a very fun show. Should be a long show. I think it's live on Summer on Gaora TV. Excuse me. I think it's live on. Was it in Samurai? I'm not sure. I have to look that up. But it's
Samurai, according to all right. I am so excited for this show. Even all the way, like you said, the dark match, which we may not see. Sato coming back. He was actually very talented before he. You know, we didn't talk about this match, but he was very talented before he left due to his hero Kotaro Suzuki's exodus from all Japan. But Coach Kotaro's on this show, and he's on this show.
Of course, I think that's great.
Yes, I love all these guys. I think all these matches have potential to be entertaining. And I'm honestly, I'm as excited for this as I was the G1 Climax Finals. I think this is going to be a tremendous show, and it's everybody should watch. And this is another great show, too, where if you are the kind of person that only watches New Japan, or for whatever reason you don't watch All Japan, this is a great starting off point to see what everything on the show is about, everything in the company about is about, and it's just a great show to watch if you're a new fan.
Yeah. Yeah, should be a great show, and as you mentioned, it is going to be live on Samurai TV this Sunday. Well, we have, I think one thing you wanted to bring into the show was Pro Wrestling Noah, right?
That's right. I wanted to talk about Noah.
So the floor is yours. Talk about Pro Wrestling Noah.
That's right, because there was a lot of buzz for a title match last month.
Yes.
With Katsuhiko Nakajima versus Brian Cage in the main event. And it was the first Noah match in a while that had really gotten sort of buzz. They had done some good shows in June. Katoge got his title shot in a pretty good match, not a blow-away one.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was not a blow-away match. They worked it in a weird way that I didn't like. But for what they did, they worked it well, even though I don't like what they're doing with Katoge or Kenno right now, if you want to talk about some questionable booking, like in All Japan. But anyway, this match with Cage had gotten a lot of press, a lot of reaction from people. Dave Meltzer gave it 4¾ star in his Observer.
No.
And I think this is the kind of match that, if you are a fan of that New Japan style, this is your kind of match, because there was all sorts of moves going on here.
Yeah.
So many things going on in this match. It was an action-packed match, to say the least.
I really liked it a lot, too, and as you mentioned, it was an action-packed match, and it was almost an indie-style match, an U.S. indie-style match brought into Japan, with Nakajima actually doing a Canadian Destroyer that he usually never does. But, you know, it gave Nakajima a big win over a really strong contender from abroad. And that's really what Japanese wrestling has been built on. Japanese wrestlers defeating wrestlers from the US. And next up, he's going to defend his championship against Eddie Edwards too. So that should be a great match as well. But sadly, this great match didn't really get the fans behind Pro Wrestling Noah. They are still in very bad shape, and I don't know what they have to do to get out there. Do you have an idea?
Yeah, get a better champion than the one they have. Nakajima's not very good. I think he's actually a really terrible champion.
But who would be the one?
Not Nakajima. It could be anybody. Like, that's what I was talking with someone on Twitter about this, to anybody. You could say easily that there's nobody better, but who could be worse? Because Nakajima just has no presence or charisma at all as champion.
He doesn't have the connection with the crowd.
No, he has nothing. He's not charismatic. He has no presence. He doesn't even feel like a champion. When he walks out on his entrance, he feels... And he's a very good wrestler. I have no qualms against that. He is not champion material, though, unfortunately.
You know, that's always what Takashi Sugiura really brought. When he came to the ring, he was champion, and you knew he was the champion.
Yeah, Sugiura injured right now, but he would be a great choice when he comes back. I think they had, much like I was mentioning, lightning in a bottle, I think Katoge at the start of the year had a lot of backing. I think if they wanted to do something with him, if they had gotten behind him, like a Miyahara in, you know, All Japan last year, I think he could have been something. But right now, he lost his title shot in very convincing fashion. They made it very clear that he was not championship material, and him and Kenno just lost a match to Quiet Storm and Yone. On this show, so that right there is like, you know, these two are not they're not challenging for the title anytime soon, unfortunately. And you know, when you look at the roster, like I said, I would have put the title on Katoge if I had my choice, but ultimately I just want somebody different than Nakajima, because this isn't working. We see it month after month that it's not working. They're trying. It's better than like February. February was like the worst of all the time, but it's not anywhere near where it needs to be, you know. So I would like to see something different, somebody different. I don't have any. It could be anybody, really. You know, it could be.
You know what would really be fun would be if they tried a run with Maybach Taniguchi.
Yeah, you know, everybody thinks Maybach's bad, but he's actually good now without the mask. When he wrestles without the mask, he's actually not that bad at all. He had a great tag team match earlier in the year with Marufuji versus Go Toge, who are having a rematch, actually, later this month. Yes. Which should be a really strong match.
Also this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And yeah, I like my Maybach a lot. I think he's really improved this year as a, just a normal Maybach, I guess you could say. Him and Kita Mia, I think both have potential. But in a perfect circumstance, they wouldn't be needed. I just would like to see somebody different from Nakajima because it's so obvious that he's not a very good champion. And that's really have I have to say about that. But I will say this too, because you could be, you could say, you can look at the attendance, you can look at everything about Noah right now, and it's obvious that the situation is not ideal by any circumstance. It's not in a very good shape at all.
Nope.
But I enjoy watching all of their shows. I really, you know. Yeah, up and down the card, I think this is one of the strongest promotions, actually, in terms of shows that are easiest to watch for me. And they've brought, they're trying to make good moves, bringing in people like Cage, bringing in people like Eddie Edwards, and they brought in some of the DDT guys, Mao and Shunma, the Wrestling Idoro group.
Yeah.
You know,
they brought in the Ryukyu Dragon Pro Wrestling guys, Gurukan Mask and Shuri Joe. They are returning for another tour in September now. They have now a new rookie that debuted. He had some Battle Royals earlier in the year. Yunta Miyawaki is his name. They added Leona to their cards. They have Kazuma Sakamoto on there. They obviously signed Hiroki, or otherwise known as High 69. They now have the Australian guy that I mentioned earlier in the show, Ashley Istria. Yeah, it's a fun group right now, and I really enjoyed the Junior Tag League shows as well.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that the juniors are very over, actually. A lot of them are. Ishimori and Hiroki, Hayata and Yohei. Yes. They had a really good match, too, for the Tag League final on that same show with the Nakajima and Cage match. I really like what they're doing with those two teams. Harada is a great junior heavyweight that they have there. The whole Rattles team, I think, work really well together. I think they're all very over. Like I said, Ishimori and Hiroki are very over as well.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think the juniors are doing a lot of good things. And these crowds at Noah, they may not be the biggest, but they are into the shows. The ones that do show up are into the shows. They're a lively crowd. It's just a fun show to watch ultimately. And hopefully they could get behind someone like Kenno on the show. Even Go, I know Go's taken a beating from a lot of people, but he's a really good mid-card wrestler. He does a lot of great work in the ring. I love his team with Kotoge. I think they should win the titles going forward, the tag team titles. So just if you give Noah a chance, I know it's not very important right now. It's not exactly high priority. But I think if you watch it and give it a chance, you'll really enjoy what you see. You'll enjoy a lot of the wrestlers here because it has a very unique style, very hard-hitting style. And all the guys put in max effort, and that's what I love watching about these shows the most.
Yeah,
I hope they do more with someone like O'Hara as well, who is a great junior heavyweight champion. He's kind of out of the spotlight, but I think he's someone that's very over. And even someone like Marufuji, I'd love to see Hiroshima and Marufuji come in for something. Maybe Hiroshima into the Global League coming in, which would be a really great thing, because I think Hiroshima is very played out in DDT himself. And him going to a new environment would be really good for both him and obviously Noah. I would love to see that going forward.
You know, the biggest criticism I have of Pro Wrestling Noah right now is the handling of Masaki Tamiya, because for whatever reason they have really dropped the ball on him. They have he had this match he lost to Eddie Edwards that led up to Edwards challenging for the GHC title, but they really haven't done anything with him in recent months after they really gave him a somewhat strong push at the beginning of the year, like in February, March, around that time. And they really dropped the ball on him, and they have to get going with that guy because he would be one to build the company around.
Yeah, I agree. Much like Kotoge, he had kind of a strong run earlier in the year. Last year, he challenged for the title against Nakajima in a really good match. I thought he was actually more charismatic than Nakajima back in that match.
He is. Yeah,
yeah. So I like him too. I totally agree with you. I think he's someone with a lot of potential. Kiyomiya on Excursion right now. It's funny because somebody dug up a lot of his matches on YouTube. Kiyomiya's Excursion matches in Canada. So you can look this up. He's a really talented guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's someone that
I hope he comes back soon. Yeah.
Oh, man. He is someone that I would really consider giving a big push to when he gets back because he's awesome. Kita Mia, I like him too, you know. I think they've got some good guys here. The roster's not bad. But like you said, I completely agree with you. Kita Mia and Kenno, they're dropping the ball on. along with O'Hara, and to a lesser extent, Katoge. Katoge got a little bit of a push, but not to my extent. But Kino and Keaton Mia have definitely been big drop balls on Noah's part.
Yes. And you know, Noah is actually a great segue for the final promotion I wanted to talk about today, because they are actually in a similar position in Japan. They are not the most popular groups, and they don't draw a lot of people, but it's really easy to watch their shows. I'm talking about Wrestle One, and they have a show coming up on the 2nd of September, the 2017 edition of Pro Wrestling Love in Yokohama, in the Yokohama Bunka Gymnasium, and they have a pretty good card set here as well. They have a lot of rookies, you know. We have another one making his official debut here right now in the first match of the show by the name of Tugutaka Sato. He's taking on another rookie by the name of Hajime. Second match of the show has Jun Toncho and Suma Sumeragi. Also two guys from the Wrestle One Dojo taking on Masayuki Mitomi and Ken Oka. We have a singles match between Daiki Inaba and Yusuke Kodama that has been built up pretty well over the course of the last months in Wrestle One. For the UWA Trios title, the champions Manabu Soya, Nosawa Rongai, and Ganseki Tanaka, also one of those trainees that Wrestle One has put out. They take on the challengers Masayuki Komono, Masada, and the returning Yuji Hino. He's finally back. For the Wrestle One Result Championship, that is one of the weirdest names and the weirdest looking title belts in all of wrestling, I think. It's supposed to be one of the belts for the young guys, but they have so many belts on this roster. It's incredible. Champion Seigo Tachibana recently underwent a change of persona. He's taking on former champion Takanori Ito, who is, if I had to describe him, he's Japanese Kevin Owens.
He is my favorite rookie in Japan right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, he is really cool. Like you said, this result title, I remember somebody, I don't remember who it is, I think it may have been Doi, but he basically said, like, this is a toy title. when he had it as the
champion. It was
Doi. As the champion. So that tells you right there how prestigious this stupid title is. But good for Tachibana. And Ito, I love. I think Ito has got a ton of upside. And I'm looking forward to that match. Like you said, Wrestle 1 is a great show for the young guys.
Exactly. And then the next matchup really proves that, because if you're really looking for talented wrestlers in Japan, you get a look at Wrestle 1. They have a great training system. And two of those guys, okay, Koji Doi, he has wrestled before. I think he came from Wrestling New Classic. But Kuma Goro, he was trained in the Wrestle 1 dojo, if I'm not mistaken. Those two are the champions right now, and they are defending the belts against Kasayashi and Shuji Kondo, in which should be a very, very good tag team title match, because Wrestle 1 has had very good tag team title matches on their shows this year, and this is going to be another one of those.
Yep, I think it's a great match. Like you said, all four of those guys have what it takes. Doi and Kumagoro are two more awesome young guys that they have, along with the likes of Ito and Daiki Inaba, who's almost reaching veteran status at this point on the roster.
Yeah,
with so many young guys. But, you know, this tag match looks great. I think Team 245 will be really good. Are they 245 or 246? I can't remember.
246.
Yeah, 246. So, Kondo and Hayashi, pretty much. I will say this about them. Not only are they really solid in-ring veterans to have, they go well together as a team. They've been teaming, you know, forever, pretty much. I also want to mention that I like their theme song a lot, their lyrical theme song. So, Team 246's theme song is true. That's all I'll say.
Next up, we have a weird match. It's a special six-man tag match. Keiji Muto. He's wrestling again in this promotion. I think he hasn't wrestled there in a while. Keiji Muto teams with Shingo Takagi of Dragon Gate and the Great Mucha. The Great Mucha is a parody on the Great Muta. So
you don't say.
Yeah. Just throwing it out here. And looking at Keiji Muto, the last time he wrestled in Wrestle 1 was on March 20. He had some matches in DDT, Tradition, he was in Dragon Gate once, he had obviously his Pro Wrestling Masters show, and he had a match in Kyushu Pro Wrestling. And one of the guys from Kyushu Pro Wrestling is in the opposing team. It is Naoki Sakurajima. He was formerly in Osaka Pro Wrestling under the name of Naoki Setoguchi, I believe was his name. I'm just looking, yeah, Setoguchi, right. He was trained by Atsushi Maruyama. He's now 32 years old, wrestling in mostly in Kyushu Pro Wrestling, a group from Fukuoka that draws well when they run their big shows in Hakata Star Lane, like around 1,000 people for their shows. He is on this team, teaming with Naomichi Maru Fuji and Tatsumi Fujinami.
The natural
what a
trio
match.
Here.
Yeah, natural trio.
Yeah. Well,
it should be a nice showcase match. Takagi being on this show is interesting.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of interesting things here. Maru Fuji and Shingo going at it here. They have their chance to wrestle again.
Yeah. For the Wrestle 1 Cruiserweight Championship, I'm saying it right now, it's Black Andy. Hi, Jesse. Black Andy is defending the championship against Seki Yoshioka. Should be a very fun Cruiserweight title match, but this entire Cruiserweight division is a mess, Dylan, I have to say.
Especially the title.
Yeah, nothing more to say about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Main event here, Shotaro Ashino defending the Wrestle 1 Championship against Jiro Ikemen Kuroshio in a match that is presented by the Steakhouse Hisugi. I'm seeing it right here now. And, you know, they have had some history, the two of them, Shotaro Ashino and Jiro Ikemen Kuroshio. And it's always been about Jiro's leg that Ashino has worked over. Ashino, in his matches, he always goes for the legs because his finishing hold is an ankle lock. That should be the theme of the match here again, with Jiro just returning from his injury. I don't know, it was some kind of a ligament injury he had. He returned from that in recent months, had a feud with Shuji Kondo, which turned into somewhat of a friendship when Shuji Kondo also took on the jacket that Jiro Ikemen Kuroshio always brings to the ring with him. He's an incredibly charismatic guy. It's only natural that he's headlining the big show for Wrestle 1 here against Shotaro Ashino. And I really hope that Jiro wins the championship here.
You know, Strigger, I'm a huge fan of Shotaro Ashino. I just really have to put it out there. He's like the opposite of 246, his theme song, you know, take it or leave it. But he, as a wrestler, the guy rocks. I'm a huge fan of him. I think he's a great, not only prospect, but a great person to kind of be their top guy, or at least an interchangeable top guy, a main eventer, so to speak.
Yeah.
Jiro is the most popular person on the roster. So I think either way would work for me. I think either man would be good in different ways. But I think Jiro has a big shot to win here. I think this is his time. I think this is a chance to win and finally get that big win of the Wrestle 1 title here. So Ikemen, I really want to see a good match out of him and Ashino here. Ikemen himself, only 24 years old, you know, so he's, despite being, like I said, probably one of the veterans of these guys, so he's still got a lot of upside himself. He's no, you know, veteran himself, really, but on this roster, he's more of a senior member. So I really want to see a good match here.
So Wrestle 1 is really a fun product if you want to see young, up-and-coming wrestlers. It is easy to follow Wrestle 1 if you go to the Real Hero Archive. Usually you only have to watch the Kuroken Hall shows. That's once a month. It's 2 hours. Doesn't take a lot of your time. And we mentioned some of the young up-and-coming talent they have on the roster. That training is really good, and you can see it in the ring. So check out Wrestle 1. Yeah.
Totally agree. And like you said, much like Noah, their fan base isn't super big, but they're right now, I think the difference between Wrestle 1 and Noah seems like they're still kind of like on the fence of trying to be big, but Wrestle 1 is fully in rebuilding mode, and hopefully they can pay off. You know, hopefully the dividends can pay off eventually for this company with a lot of these young talent that they're built up, because the roster is so young, so fresh that hopefully they can get a chance. I think it would be really cool to watch the company and see how these guys grow and who
Oh yeah.
You know who really stands out at and when they do become bigger and more known and more experienced.
Yeah, it's just
I think that's
they,
one of the main things to watch.
They have to have this one guy that's catching fire at some point, and I can see it either being Ashino or Ikemen on a bigger scale. That would probably result in them doing better. And for what they are trying to achieve, they are really doing well right now, I think.
Yeah, Ikemen has never won the title.
No.
So I think it would be interesting to see him get that big run for the WrestleMania title. So I think I would go with him to win the title right now. I'm a big fan of both guys, but I think this is Ikemen's time.
Right. So, we've talked about a lot of groups here in this show today. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
Not that I can think of right now. Next episode, I'll get more into like Joshi stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say we're probably going to talk about the 5-star Grand Prix that has started last weekend with 2 shows in Shinkiba, and it's going to continue this weekend. So next show, you're going to get into that. But so for now, that's it, I guess. If you want to get into interaction with us and discuss some of the topics the both of us discussed here on this show, you can do that, of course, following us on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Striga, STRIGGA, and Dylan, take it away.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at DylanZeroSky, and I'll talk to you about anything when it comes to pro wrestling or life, really. I'm a very multifaceted person. I'd also like to recommend everybody listen to my other podcast on the MLW Radio Network, Lucha Talk, a show about lucha that we talk about.
Oh, lucha, hey.
Yeah. And there's a big show this weekend for AAA, Triple Mania. We had this guy, Rob Viper, on, who's a big name expert in the lucha community. I really recommend checking out. It's one of our biggest shows. I think one of our best shows, too. So really give that a shot. And I really hope you can support the show here on the Eastern Lariat. I think me and you, Striga, have done a really great job recently, not to pat ourselves on the back too much. But I really enjoy doing the show with you and enjoy talking to all the fans. I got a lot of feedback from the last episode. We talked about my PTR for the G1. So a lot of stuff there. And you know, one more thing before we go, because I know that if you've been following along, if you've been listening to the last 3 episodes, you noticed my Hurricaneer mentions to build up the Super Sentai title of the DDT, and I've leveled some subliminal messages before, so I'm gonna do another one now, Strick. I'm double dipping into the Japanese pool right now, so this is not for you, but let me just say, if there was one thing I wanted to say, it would be Hanto wa Anata ga suku, and I think that's all I can say about that. That's not to you, Striga. No offense.
Okay.
You know, you're cool too. You are cool too. You know, I'm a big fan of yours, and I really appreciate you doing this show. I appreciate all the stuff you're doing on Cage Match, just to put you over a little bit, and your Twitter too. You're actually a really awesome Twitter follow, as always. I know I'm not the only one who thinks that, so I can say it too.
So, yeah, thank you, man. So, yeah, I also am a big fan of yours and your Lucha Talk show. I really enjoy that show, as I've been getting into Lucha more and more over the last couple of weeks. It's really not that hard to follow Lucha if you want to follow it. So check out Lucha Talk. And if you want to email us questions, you can also do that. The email address for that is japan@mlw.com. That is japan@mlw.com. And from the both of us, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to all the episodes we put out in recent weeks. We had a really great stretch throughout the G1 climax. We are not going to drop a show every week now because I'm going back to work, but usually every 2 weeks we do a show covering all bases in Japanese pro wrestling. And if you enjoy that, we thank you, and I hope you enjoyed the show. That was the Eastern Lariat for this week. Goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLWRadio.com network.